The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and we are here to break down the 2020 NFL schedule. We will have on Monday a more in-depth week one. This is Friday's show, of course. I mean, it'll probably release on Thursday night, but you know, you get the point. Monday will be a more in-depth breakdown of week one lines. We'll reference them probably at some point in the show. And if there's a bet that you should go out and make because a line is screwed up, we will let you know, but we'll keep digging into the schedule. It is a stinky, stinky onion that has many layers and, will be like a Christmas gift that keeps on giving or something like that. Make sure and watch CBS Sports HQ because they'll be unpacking the schedule all throughout the weekend. Pete Prisco will be on Friday night. He's on call. He's our schedule guy on call to break it down all day Friday. So you can see Pete's bald tan head talking, his lips moving and whatever else he does, flapping away with a big dolphin in his background as he breaks down the schedule. It's exciting stuff. We'll talk about the biggest games, of course, all the openers and Thanksgiving, Thursday night, Sunday night and Monday night football games, the prime time action. Joining me on this particular show, it's the Super Friends Party. We have Ryan Wilson.
Hello.
Sean Wagner-McGuff, who has installed a brand new pull-up machine in his kitchen doorway. Very proud of you, Sean, for exercising.
Zoom, zoom.
And the schedule czar himself, a man so disconcerted by events that occurred shortly after the schedule's release that he can't even smile as he writes down the schedule. John Breach, what's up, buddy?
You're lucky I had time for you on this podcast today. This is my day, Brinson. I feel like a celebrity. I have rounds to make. I have other media rounds, but I am making time to talk the schedule with you.
No, you don't. But thank you for coming. let's dive into it and talk about the notable games out there. We'll start the, you know, there was some speculation that the Chiefs would play an NFC team in the event that the schedule needed to be moved back, but that's not the case. They got a playoff, a 2019 playoff, or I guess 2020 playoff rematch against the Texans Thursday, September the 10th on NBC. That will be the opener for the 2020 NFL season. And I will say this too, like the schedule feels a little different this year, Ryan, because it feels like the whole thing has an asterisk next to it, right? Does that seem fair?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we're still on quarantine for the most part. Hopefully that changes in the coming weeks. But yeah, of course. Now, there haven't been any substantial, like no confirmed contingency plans in the schedule that I know about. And I think you mentioned that Mike Garofalo tweeted that there are no contingency plans. Is that right?
I believe that there was.
As the scheduling guru, let me chime in. Ryan, that was a good softball to get me talking. So here's what we have. In week two,
hold on, Breach, before you get there, let me read the quote from Troy Vincent, NFL VP of football ops, appearing on NFL Network with Rich Eisen. He said, no, this is the schedule. He was asked if there's a hidden alternate schedule. Unless Howard Katz is going to drop a schedule in the world tonight. He was joking on the last part. In other words, they're claiming it's the only schedule, but Breach, you think there's some Easter eggs that can hint at a possible shift should something happen in world circumstances.
Right. The schedule is like a transformer. Like at one time it is Bumblebee, the guy running around, but it might switch into the Volkswagen Beetle if the situation arises. And so if the NFL has to cut games off, there are spots, or if games get postponed and need to be made up, there's spots where those can happen. Week two. Every game in week two, a team is playing another team that has the same bye. So if for some reason week two can't happen, those two teams can play during their bye week. Weeks three and four, there are no division games in weeks three and four. So I'm thinking if the NFL has to chop 2 weeks off the schedule and that just cannot be played for whatever reason, that weeks three and four would be the first two on the chopping block because there are no divisional games. And then obviously, over the first 4 weeks of the season, every team plays two home games and every team plays two away games. So if you, for some reason, had to chop those four off, every team loses the same amount of home games and away games. But obviously the NFL was not concerned about the fact that an AFC team might lose some NFC opponents and vice versa, because that whole box schedule thing never happened.
Here's what I learned from Breach just now. He can only name one transformer.
Optimus Prime.
Ah, there you go. Well done.
Dunk Dog.
I can name like three Decepticons.
Nice. All right. You were just, you were more interested in talking about the schedule. I thought you only knew Bumblebee and that was it. And the guy, the BW Bug guy.
Herbie is a by the way. I'm going to watch Transformers tonight.
So anyway, the opener, and that's good stuff, Breach. Those are good nugs. The opener is, Chiefs and Texans. As I said, a replay of, that divisional round game that featured the Texans jumping out to a crazy lead and then the Chiefs storming back and leading by 10 at halftime. The Chiefs are roughly the same favorite there, I think 10.5 points in that one, which is not a surprise given how good Kansas City is.
Is 10.5 the Brinson bookmaking line, or is that the actual line now?
That is the I will say that is the actual. What I'm trying to do here, Ryan, is casually reference.
I didn't know if you saw it somewhere or not. Okay, fair enough.
Just let me go with the lines, okay? Yes, that is the official line, but you get the point. Anyway, the Chiefs are big favorites. Are anybody surprised by the Texan selection? I mean, I think it's a pretty intriguing matchup. I mean, you get Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, Sean.
Yeah, well, at worst, even if the Chiefs blow them out, I think we all consider that playoff game an incredible classic that you would want to rewatch if given the chance. And let's not forget, earlier that season, the Texans went into Kansas City, and they were actually down 17-3 in the first quarter, I believe, and they went on to win that game. So the Texans actually wasn't as impressive as a comeback as the Chiefs playoff comeback in January, but it was still an impressive comeback, and I don't think it'll happen again. I think if you look what happened this offseason, the Texans got worse with the DeAndre Hopkins trade and the Chiefs got better. But I at the very least, you're going to get two of the five best quarterbacks in football against each other. And even if the Chiefs blow them out, I do think the Texans will be able to score a ton of points. And the Chiefs won by 20 points last time, but they combined to score, what, like 82 points? I will take that any day of the week. And especially
score a ton of points?
Because they have Deshaun Watson.
By the way, I don't know if you guys know this, but the NFL in its release announcing the schedule in this opener. Actually, this is called the Ryan Pace Bowl because it features Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, the two quarterbacks taken immediately after Mitchell Trubisky in the 2017 NFL draft.
Wow, I haven't thought about that in a while.
Does anyone else think the Texans are going to score a lot of points? Their offense is worse. We don't know about their offensive line, and the Chiefs got a lot better on offense. Don't fall out of your chair, Breach.
I think it's very possible that the Texans – well, the over-under is like 57. So, I mean, yeah, they're expecting a ton of points. Look, Andy Reid is, and I know Debo is annoyed that we're diving into the gambling aspect of this, but I don't care. Look, it's the first game of the year. Andy Reid is 6-1 straight up in openers since coming to Kansas City in week one games. That includes that crazy blowout win over the Patriots. He is 5-2 against the spread since coming to Kansas City in week one games. And one of those non-covers was a 6-point win as a 6.5-point favorite of the Chargers in overtime. In other words, I guess what I'm saying is that I would fully expect the Chiefs offense to be prepared to come out and ball in week one, regardless of what happens this offseason. There's not a ton to deal with. Even Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the newest piece there. You know, you have Damian Williams. Like, this is going to be a consistent prepared offense. I think you could potentially see the Texans, come out and struggle a little bit as they attempt to move into a different offense that features David Johnson and a bunch of these speed guys. So, I think Houston will get its points, but I can see it being points as they're chasing Kansas City, who has a big lead. Cool.
I disagree.
You disagree?
This team's going to be terrible on the offense because of all the things they've done this offseason. I know Sean loves Deshaun Watson no matter what. And I think a part of that is just jealousy because Mitch Trubisky's his quarterback, but.
What? If I was jealous, then I would be saying Deshaun Watson isn't that good. Look, I think the Chiefs, like Brenton said, the line was, 10.5? I would actually take the Chiefs to cover. I know that's a huge line to cover in week one, but.
I do too. I agree.
I'm just saying from the matchup scheduling standpoint, if you can get Mahomes versus Watson, I think it's a no-brainer, even if you think the Chiefs are going to blow him out, because I do think Watson will deliver enough offense on his own to make up for that. That's all I'm saying.
It's a fine opener, but the Chiefs also play the Ravens, which would be an amazing opener. I mean, it's okay. If you go down,
it's fine, but we get that later. But they also weren't going to send him on the road, and the Chiefs' home schedule just wasn't attractive. There weren't really any good options to put in this game. Like the Patriots without Tom Brady, no one wants to see that. The Falcons, the Panthers, no. The Chiefs are 23-2 in their last 25 games against AFC West teams, so you don't want to put an AFC West team there and have a massacre happen. I mean, it feels like the Texans were really the only option, unless you think the NFL would have been crazy to put the Jets there.
I think it's a perfectly good matchup. I mean, it was a great playoff game. Deshaun Watson's not going to let him just get absolutely annihilated in like the first half and have it be a blowout.
Why? Is he going to catch ball?
Wait a minute. Wait, not to mention, Breach's list of all those teams. It's not like there are many teams in football that can hang with the Chiefs in Arrowhead. You know what I mean? It's a very select group of teams. The Chiefs have the 49ers on their home schedule.
The Texans are fine. I don't hate it. I'm just saying, like, I don't think it's the marquee. I could actually make an argument that
they play at the Ravens.
Wait, hold on. I would rather make an argument that the Broncos played in that week one game.
That's fine with me.
I don't have a, I think that's,
I don't hate the Texans. I'm just
you don't want to burn a truly like a crazy elite matchup in that week one game if you can. And
why not? That's the whole
point. It's unfair to the Chiefs. I mean,
but it's supposed to be attractive because everybody's getting hyped up for football. I mean, the Chiefs played the Patriots. Was that fair to the Patriots after a couple years ago when they played that home and opener in New England and they had to play Kansas City?
I mean, look, when you go through the Chiefs schedule, there's just not. Like,
that's why I offered up the Broncos. So I think it's okay if the Broncos were the week one team. The Texans are fine, but I mean, I think the Broncos are actually more exciting.
The Broncos, I think, have a better chance to get blown out, though, because we don't know what Drew Lock is going to be.
But also that's like being like, I didn't order Coke. I want Pepsi. Who cares?
It's Deshaun Watson versus Patrick Mahomes. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting, even if the Chiefs blow him out. They beat him by 20, and it was an incredible game loss.
Sean, you know nothing about quarterbacks. Next question.
Fair point, dog. moving along. So a surprise in the schedule, Roger Goodell decided to go full Judas and jab Jesus in the back. He scheduled a Christmas game on a Friday. I don't think when was the last time we had a Christmas game on a Friday? This is preposterous. It's repulsive. It's disgusting. It's aberrehensive. I don't even know what word that was. I was trying to say reprehensible and I failed.
I can't wait to see all the hate mail we get from every pastor who's listening to this. Brinson just thinks of a new thing to say about Jesus every time we talk about these Christmas games. But no, this is rare. We get a Friday night game. I know, like, Sean, you sit at home and do nothing on Friday night, so this will be easy for you to just kind of have a game to watch.
Nice.
Thank you. Weird flex coming from the guys. Gonna be
also,
his
Sean,
child.
Not a huge fan of God. So he's not going to worry about anything in this game.
Is there nothing more ironic, by the way, before you go back to Breach? Brinson's mom is a pastor.
I know. You're saying it's ironic that my mom is a pastor.
How much praying did this woman do, and Brinson still turned out this way? Can you imagine if she didn't say prayers for Brinson ever?
She didn't become a pastor until like 1999.
Oh, you drove her to pastorism.
She and I went to college. She went to divinity school the same year I went to college.
Oh, yeah.
It was a humiliating Christmas when we came home and compared GPS.
So basically, you got replaced by God.
No, no. Brinson getting shipped off to what used to be a military school is what caused Brinson's mom to find God.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway,
go ahead, answer your question, Brinson. Fun fact, this will be the first time since 2009 that we've had a Friday game in the NFL, and it will be just the fifth time in the past 25 years that we have had a Friday game. And usually it does come around Christmas. The last one was on Christmas. Two before that were on Christmas Eve. And then there was a weird one in 2005 that came in October. And I think that had something to do with the weather.
Oh, that was Katrina was in August. May, I don't know if that would have something to do with.
What year was that breach?
05.
It was 2005. It was Chiefs Dolphins.
Maybe there was a hurricane or something, I bet.
Yeah. I think it was supposed to hit like that Sunday and decided to play the game early. So there's it doesn't happen. It does not happen. How do you guys feel about having a Friday Christmas game?
I'm fine with it because it's a good matchup. We just
did we do a podcast last year on Saturday? Were there games on Saturday last year? There must have been, right? For Christmas?
No, there was nothing on Christmas last year. There had been stuff on Christmas like every year for the past 3 or 4 years, and then last year was off. I mean, like, look, this is selfish, but I mean, I'll say it anyway. Like, I'm annoyed by a Christmas game because we're gonna have to podcast after it, right? Like.
Yeah, we do it for Thanksgiving.
But I mean, like, Christmas, you like to, you know, drink a.
Yeah, because you've never done a podcast before after having a couple drinks.
Sure have it.
Play the music. I don't know if you can play it on this contraption.
It's fine. It's a standalone night game. So it's not like Thanksgiving where you got three games and it's your traditional holiday. As Danny Cannell pointed out in our pregame show before the schedule, it's sort of like, does this mean something for college football? Are they worried about bowl games? And it's a little surprising that they would go at the NBA, which has reportedly been planning to start its season on Christmas and has traditionally owned Christmas, as a day when, you know, they start and run like four games. Now look, it's cool that there's a football game on. I'll be excited to watch it, but a night game on Christmas, I mean, I got a 6-year-old. Like, I'm not, I guess I'll be up building toys anyway.
I'll say in the NFL's defense, the reason they did it also the last Friday game was on Christmas Day is because your option here is to have a Thursday night game, and having Christmas Eve is even worse. You cannot have a Christmas Eve game on Thursday night if you do not have to, because that, would you rather sit and work on Thursday night Christmas Eve or Friday afternoon Christmas Day? Because the game's at 4:30. It's not Christmas night.
Oh, it's at 4:30. Well, that's a whole – somebody said night. That's a whole different ballgame. 4:30 I can get down with.
Oh, that's nice. 1:30 for me. That's pretty
nice. Let me ask you guys this. Traditionally, in your household growing up, did you celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve, like open presents, or Christmas Day?
Christmas morning.
Christmas morning.
One present on Christmas Eve.
We would do stuff with the family on Christmas Eve.
Some people actually open their presents on Christmas Eve. Yeah, I'm with you, Breach. One on Christmas Eve and then go nuts on Christmas morning. Debo?
Oh, we would get ridiculed if we tried to open a present on Christmas Eve. You had to wait till the morning.
Yeah.
And no tattoos, no matter what.
We would go over to like my grandmother's house with my cousins and you know, like do a present exchange between like my family and like my dad's family, but like you wouldn't open your tree.
Is there families that do that? They go all out on Christmas Eve, and then I guess Christmas morning they just, you know, dad chills out. I don't know. But so that would actually, just to Breach's point, that if the games were actually on Christmas Eve, I'm sure it would affect some part of the population that would prefer.
Although, you know, with bowl games, what's interesting is they've been doing a thing where they just don't, you know, they don't do a lot of bowl games on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. So maybe the NFL is like, hey, we'll fill the void and throw a football game out there.
I don't think the NFL cares because it's so much uncertainty around both college football and basketball. So we're not going to wait around. We're going to do this because they're all systems go no matter what. And then they're like, well, we'll fix it later. So I don't think they
care. And I don't even think the Christmas game would have been the NFL taking a shot at college. If you're going to wonder if the NFL is taking a shot at college, is the fact that they scheduled two Saturday triple headers. Two. So there's two Saturdays this season where we're going to have football all day with the triple header. We had one last year. They've never done it twice. So if you're wondering, that is where you say, oh, I guess they aren't thinking there's going to be bowl games or it's going to be open. But we're getting a lot of Saturday football this year.
We will get to those in just a minute. First, let's talk more holidays. Thanksgiving is here. And it's not here, but it's on the rundown here. And we have three games. This won't surprise you, but the Lions and the Cowboys are hosting games, and the Lions open up with a game against Billy O'Brinson, followed by the Cowboys hosting the Redskins, and then the nightcap Ravens at Steelers, a game that has often been featured in these holiday spots. What do we think about that, Ryan? That means you're gonna have to stay sober, be a sober-minded person on Thanksgiving, and be ready for that game because you're gonna live blog it, then we're gonna podcast it.
Yeah, the Ravens Steelers, Breach would know because he's the guru of all things scheduling. I don't know how many times they played, but I do know the most noteworthy Steelers Ravens Thanksgiving matchup was when Tomlin was on the field and sort of tripped what's his face there on the return, even though he had his back to the return kid there. That was a big issue. He was fined, I think he was fined like $500,000. So that hopefully he will stay on the sidelines that game. I actually like, you know, I was just crushing the Texans for being in the opener. I like the idea of them playing the Lions in that first match at the 12:30 game. Just because, I think that game will actually lead to a lot of points and we'll have a good idea. I mean, here's a question for you. I'm trying to think what the over under should be. 4-1. Matt Patricia still has a job on Thanksgiving.
I wouldn't bet that. I think he'll get the whole season.
I mean, that's what, 12 weeks into the season? If they're two, huh?
Yeah, I don't think Bob Quinn's firing him.
What if Bob Quinn may not have a choice? What if they're 2-10?
Well, two, that's a different, I mean, if they're
2-10. I think that's hard to believe. They went 3-4-1 with Stafford last year, and as Breach will remind you, they almost are 6-0 or whatever he said.
5-0, Sean. Do your homework.
Well, Ryan, I mean, obviously you've done a deep dive into your mortal enemy, Matthew Patricia's schedule. So, why do you think they're going to be, 2-10? I mean, they get the Bears to open up 1-0.
0-1.
At the Packers.
Hell yeah, Ryan. Thanks for your support.
0-2.
They're at the Packers, at the Cardinals, Saints at home.
0-3. 0-4.
Slow down.
Not great. Not great, Bob Quinn. Then they get the a bye in week 5. That's not ideal either. They come out of their bye with 2 road games at the Jaguars, at the Falcons.
They'll win. So let's say they beat the Jaguars.
They're 1-5.
Then they get the Colts at home.
1-6.
Then they get the at the Vikings.
Yeah. 1-7.
Okay. 2-2.
The Redskins.
2-10.
Okay, there we go.
2-10 is looking a little generous at this point. They get the Redskins at home, at the Panthers. They can pick up 2 wins.
They could have 3 wins by the time they get to the Texans.
Texans at home. So yeah. I think they'll start out 1-3 or 2-2.
2-2. All right, they beat the Bears. Who else are they beating?
Well, let me say this. The NFL is so enthusiastic about Matt Patricia that the Lions are one of 2 teams, only 2 teams, that did not get any primetime games this year.
You know how Matt Patricia found out about that? Roger Goodell called him on Zoom and was wearing that Roger Goodell clown t-shirt and said, oh, by the way, not getting any primetime games.
And the Redskins are the other team.
Okay, the Dallas Cowboys are hosting the Redskins. Do we think, I mean, that's, I don't know, that's pretty standard. Is that a good Thanksgiving game? I mean, it's a divisional matchup, but.
I don't think you can know until we see, we have no idea what Dwayne Haskins is going to be. Like, it could be fine.
Even still, when the Cowboys or the Redskins are terrible, they usually play that game pretty well.
I mean, I thought this was a throwaway game by the NFL. They know it's the Cowboys. It's Thanksgiving. They're going to draw no matter who they play. And this was literally the worst game on the, I mean, the Cowboys play the 49ers, the Cardinals, the Steelers, any of those teams would have been better.
Giants, Falcons. Yeah.
I mean, this was literally option 8 out of 8 on the Cowboys home schedule. But again, it's the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. People are going to watch no matter what.
Well, and let's not forget too that like we're talking about a Redskins team that now, I think there's hope in Washington, like, and it's a very cautious hope, but there's at least some hope in Washington that they can sort of turn things around with Ron Rivera.
Play well against the Cowboys. RG3 went down there and won. I think Colt McCoy won down there when Chad
Ron Rivera obliterated the Cowboys in Dallas on Thanksgiving. Two or three.
On paper, it sucks, but I think there's tradition there, and anything can happen. Even if the Redskins are winless at that point, they seem to be. Take it up a few notches when they go to Dallas for Turkey Day.
I don't have a problem with it. Ravens Steelers. I mean, that's like, that's the beauty of the, of the Thanksgiving games is like, you don't, I mean, like, you don't have to hit a grand slam. Like, you just need some quality matchups because everybody is so excited about football.
What are the chances Big Ben's playing in that game?
What are the chances Cam Newton's playing in that game?
Yeah, I hope it's 99%. I hope you mean for the Steelers too. They got both Cam Newton and Lamar Jackson. Then we got some problems.
The Ravens actually have a pretty interesting scheduling stretch starting with that Steelers Thanksgiving game, because then they play the Cowboys on Thursday night and then they play the Browns on a Monday night. So literally they go almost a month without playing a Sunday game, which I think is fascinating.
That is kind of fascinating. Do the Cowboys get hooked up again with their schedule? They always get hooked up. It's ridiculous in terms of how they draw these, like, so they get the, what do they have, the Redskins? So they're bye, then at Vikings, then Redskins, and then, oh, no. Yeah, then the week, that's tough. Then at the Ravens a week later. So they get a bye technically. I mean, they don't have to play like a shortened, they have to play 7 days later. They don't get the 10 days. That's a tough little schedule coming out.
Yeah, and their 10-day break is between Ravens and Bengals, which is like where you don't need the break, necessarily. I suppose you'd rather have it between Redskins and Ravens, probably.
That is funny that you say that, Sean.
I said no offense, Breach.
I was offended, and I'm telling you. You know why it's funny? Because when I looked at the Bengals schedule and I saw where they were playing the Cowboys, I was thrilled because in week 13, the Cowboys play the Ravens, then they play the Bengals, then they come back and play the 49ers. So the Bengals are sandwiched in between two really, really, really good teams. Classic trap game. I'm going to write that one down now.
Okay.
Bengals are covering.
Well,
I thought you were going to say Bengals are going to win.
I'm not going to be that crazy.
Why don't we take our bye, a.k.a. the break? after that, we'll be right back to break down some primetime games.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Okay, the primetime games. This, to no one's surprise, the team with the most primetime games on El Schedule, the Dallas Cowboys. They have 6 primetime games. They are a team that people get hyped up about. They are a team that has a new coach. They're a team that has a polarizing quarterback. They have a ton of offensive talent. They are, in theory, going to be a lot of fun to watch this year, and it shouldn't be shocking that they are getting a ton of primetime games.
Cowboys always get 5 primetime games.
What's the controversial quarterback? You mean he doesn't have his contract? Is that what you mean?
I think people get hot and bothered about Dak.
Who?
Yeah, I can't remember who it was. Someone put a Twitter poll out recently between Wentz and Dak, and I'm not saying Debo's giving me a look here, but it was like 96% thought it was like Wentz was better. He's a very polarizing person on the internet.
Oh, please. Get off the internet.
You don't think Dak is polarizing?
No. He's a really good player. He's going to sign. What's polarizing about him?
We agree with you that he's a really good player. There are a lot of people out there who think he's overrated, and the Cowboys haven't even paid him yet.
Yeah, there are people who think that Dak should just take $28 million from the Cowboys and be done with it because he ain't done enough. What is he without Zeke in the offensive line? Amari Cooper. Dang it, Paul. Amari Cooper carried his team.
If you could make that argument for every single – you could find some
He's the new Kirk Cousins.
But you could find people that say that about Tom Brady in New England. I mean, you could find those people.
What are you talking about? Are you drunk? We have a show to do after this podcast. Are you hammered?
No one is worried about Dak. You guys are reading too much Twitter machines.
Debo, I'm going to need you to weigh in here as a Carson Wentz apologist.
Wasn't going to do anything.
I mean, all people do is compare Carson and Dak.
Yeah. Does that make him controversial?
Yes. People, how could you, Ryan, how could you operate as an internet writer of football and not know that Dak Prescott is a controversial topic?
And his advice was get off the internet when it's literally our job to be on the internet and to dish out football takes on the internet.
First of all,
your job is the internet.
You guys are morons. That's the takeaway. You guys, when I said internet, I thought it was implied that I meant Twitter. You guys are in the deepest, darkest depths of Twitter, finding people yelling and screaming about Dak Prescott. No one's worried about Dak. He is fine.
Then why haven't the Cowboys paid him?
That's a different conversation. Now, that's a conversation that I'm willing to have with you, sir. But I don't know how you go from there.
Wait, Debo, real quick. Wentz or Dak?
I mean, Wentz, coming from the apologist himself. I think it's controversial if you list Dak inside the top three, but I also think it's controversial if you list him outside of the top 10, which, maybe top five. So I think top five or, outside of the top 10, 12. I think that's unfair. He's somewhere in the middle. And I don't think he's more interesting because he's the Cowboys quarterback in the contract thing. So I get the Twitter internet thing.
All I'm saying is if you make a list about quarterbacks, people are going to like gravitate to where you put Dak. Like that's what they're not like, where did he, unless you like put Breeze at 12, like,
let me ask you this. Anyone can answer this question, but I'm sure Sean will have some thoughts until he gets yelled at on Twitter by this person. Aaron Rodgers or Dak Prescott?
Right now, Dak Prescott, easy. That's a no brainer to me.
Who are you again?
Sean got excited when he asked.
I know.
I thought it was going to be a difficult question and he asked a layup.
Our Facebook poll was not favorable last week when I posed Dak for and a first for Aaron Rodgers. In favor. A lot of people said the Packers would say no in that scenario.
I don't know if they would. I mean, they drafted Jordan Love.
All right. This is morphed away from a thing.
Well, I just want to get clarification on the polarizing Cowboys.
So the Dallas Cowboys 6 primetime games. They have 8. They have week 1. On the road in L.A., Jerry Jones being rewarded by getting to play. Yes?
Which team?
The Rams. Remember, Jerry Jones got Stan Kroenke out to L.A., so he gets to,
I'm going
to
give an L on that one.
Is the stadium going to be ready? Are we sure about that?
I think he's playing the soccer stadium. I'm sure Jerry will be fine with that.
that's the Chargers stadium. Chargers are on the road, so they could, in theory, do that, or just play at the Coliseum.
By the way, if Chargers were at home, they would have to go in the parking lot. That's not their stadium.
Well, do you think the Rams are going to slow play this, or do you think the Rams are hoping that fans won't be allowed to attend this game? Because it's going to be 90% Cowboys fans. It's going to be like a home game for the Cowboys. Rams would be better off if there are no fans there.
Kroenke wants to flash his new stadium. And Jerry wants to flash the stadium that he helped get built. Like, there's a reason why that's on Sunday Night Football, the new marquee spot in terms of primetime games in week one.
How does Vegas feel about that game? Do we know that yet?
We do, Ryan. And Vegas believes that
-3.
Who?
The Rams.
Cowboys.
Oh, no. I was going to say, I thought it was Cowboys.
I think the Rams are going to win that game. I like the Rams this year.
I would dig the Rams at home as well. I hope the stadium's ready because that's going to be a fun game to see. The Cowboys also get the Cardinals in week 6 on ESPN at home, Monday Night Football. They play at the Eagles in week 8 for Sunday Night Football. They are at the Ravens for week 13 on Thursday Night Football. And then, of course, week 12 is Thanksgiving. I assume we count that as a primetime game. And then week 15, they host the 49ers on Sunday Night Football. I don't have a problem with any of those games. Those are good.
2-4. I think that's what's going to happen to them. Look at them.
That'd be something else.
Cardinals and Redskins.
I'm just saying I don't have a problem with, like, a lot of times these NFC East teams get shoved down our throats. Philly, Giants. But in this case, like, these are good games that I want to see the Cowboys play and I'm intrigued by. So I don't have a problem with it. Next up on the list of most primetime games, there are a ton of teams with 5 of them. So I'll give you one answer each. Which team is the worst team on here with 5 primetime games? The Baltimore Ravens.
It's the Patriots. You don't have to finish this.
Yeah, that's a pain.
Well, I think Sean would like a word.
All right. I'll give Sean a word. It's going to be wrong if he doesn't say the Patriots. But
it's the Green Bay Packers. It's the Green Bay Packers and Aaron.
No, I was out of all the teams, I was actually going to say either the Patriots or the Rams.
Not the Rams. The Rams are going to be good this year, I'm telling you.
Why don't I list them? It's the Ravens, the Packers, the Chiefs, the Rams, the Patriots, the Saints, the 49ers, and the Buccaneers. I think the bottom two are the Packers and the Patriots.
I might put the Buccaneers in there. I wonder if we're putting too much stock in Tom Brady, and he's not going to have – I don't know when the teams will be able to start practicing, but he hasn't
– Wait. I can't believe I'm going to have to defend the Green Bay Packers here. You think the Packers are worse than the Rams? I mean, I understand the Packers lucked their way to 13 wins, but they still probably projected to win 10, 11 games. It wasn't like they were an 8-win team that somehow won 13 games. And the Rams won 9 games last year. They didn't have a first-round pick. Like, what did they get better in the offseason? I don't know if the Rams got that much better.
The Packers did project to be a 9.5 win team. But
and by the way, the Rams crushed their draft. And you may have not heard this, but the Packers had 8 draft picks and then take a wide receiver.
Oh, first I've heard. Brand new information.
I don't think the Rams are entirely look, I'm not surprised the Rams are on there because they're moving into a new stadium that is the crown jewel of the NFL meet. Like,
do you have their?
For instance, since we all agreed on the Patriots, why don't we ask a more complicated question? Who's the best team that got 5 primetime games?
The Chiefs.
Yeah, Chiefs or Ravens.
Ravens, see? The Ravens. Yeah.
So of the Rams' primetime games, they have week 1, Cowboys at home, week 6, at the 49ers, week 7, Bears at home. Gross.
Exactly.
Week 8, at the Buccaneers.
Ooh, what do you think happens there? Because I think...
Week 14, Patriots at home.
I think they could go 3-2.
I'm not excited for Rams Bears or Rams Patriots. Those are the two.
Why?
Rams Buccaneers is kind of grody too.
Why? What are you talking about?
I like it.
Something about
Jalen Ramsey against those receivers. You know, there's stuff.
Visually, it's not very appealing to me.
Brinson likes always to visualize the uniforms, and that's how he makes, whether it's like free agent decisions or schedule decisions. He has to be able to visualize.
He's like
the
Joey Tribbiani. Isn't that how Joey Tribbiani picked gambling games, or was that a different sitcom I'm thinking about? Didn't he look at the helmets? Oh, that was What's Happening. Sorry, that was rerun.
notable as it relates to Tom Brady and primetime, Tom Brady's first home game will be the Panthers in week 2, but that is not a primetime game. So that, like, I assume that's going to be Fox's game of the week already.
You want to hear a fun fact about this schedule for the Buccaneers?
I'd love to.
They'll play just one road game against a team that had a winning record last season, and that's the Saints. But the hardest home schedule in the NFL based on 2019 win percentage. By the way, Justin Page, our producer, I think, at CBS Sports HQ, puts together all this stuff, so that's where I got that from.
Head nerd.
Yeah, he does a great job.
No, that's a compliment. Ed,
mm-hmm. Also, yeah. I don't know where I got this from. I stole it from someone on Twitter. But two teams are scheduled to play 3 consecutive games in primetime, and one of them is the Bucks, week 7-9.
That's a terrible fun fact.
That's a good. It's all the primetime games are all clustered up.
That means we're going to get Tom Brady in 3 straight weeks on primetime. You're going to have to watch Tom Brady.
You get him 4 and 5 weeks if you want to take it a step further.
I think the concern would be with Brady is what happened? Like, he's going to be healthy, right? He'll be healthy.
Well, here's the thing is that they get the week 13 bye. If you have a 43-year-old quarterback, that's what you want. You want the late season bye so he has that time to rest. You get that bye in week 4. Tom Brady doesn't need a bye in week 4. He's half bionic, but, he wears down, and I think that week 13 bye is going to be helpful for them.
So let me ask you guys this. So one of the teams that playing 5 games we mentioned on primetime are the New England Patriots. And I don't know if you saw this, but on Thursday night, Pete Briscoe tweeted this about the Patriots' schedule. Or he said this on CBS Sports HQ and it was tweeted out by HQ. This is a perfect tanking for Trevor schedule for the Patriots.
Oh, get out of here. I don't buy it.
They're not going to be bad enough. I just don't think.
By the way, when we talk about strength of schedule, it is very important, I think, to note that no offense, Breach. I know you do strength of schedule stuff a lot, but like last year's the record of the teams you played last year is completely and utterly irrelevant.
Are you going to attribute this to the person who actually wrote this?
I am going to point out that Warren Sharp does a good job with this. Friend of the program who's on the show every year, Ryan. And we talk about this. If you listen to shows that weren't just involving you friggin' narcissist, then you would know.
I don't listen to shows that don't involve me. Just
okay, I know my own pal. You can smell your own out here. The Colts, by the way, have the easiest. This is based on.
Well, and let me just say that strength of schedule overall is kind of, it's just a perception thing. Cause I think Warren Sharp's is both basically made with using the over-unders from Vegas. over-unders are created to get people to bet both sides. They're not used to gauge how a team is going to do. They're trying to gauge how the public thinks they're going to do, because that's how you make bets. You want 50-50 on both sides in bets. So it's mathematical versus how a team's going to do. They don't exactly line up. Like, it's not a great statistic to base the strength of schedule. There's really no way.
There's no way to do it.
There's no good way to do it, but I would just push back. I think with the over-unders, they're just trying to hit a number. Yeah, but like, the goal is to hit a number that is feels
50-50.
Like
50-50.
Right.
That gets people betting both sides, so it's an ambiguous number.
But they don't like pump up the Cowboys. I mean, like, they don't pump up certain teams like out of control. Like, I mean, I think
let me ask you this. What, did Sharp go back and look at using that over-under method or whatever his method was and look at previous seasons and see if his method was better?
I'm going to blindly say it's been pretty accurate, Ryan.
Okay. There you go. Sorry, Breach. You just got knocked on.
But the Colts have, like, it is crazy how much better their schedule is than everybody else. It's wild. The Patriots are at 24th. Cowboys are at 9th. Buccaneers are at 11th, just to touch on some teams.
9th hardest?
9th easiest.
I think the Steelers actually work out pretty well in both methods. I think they have a pretty easy schedule according to Sharp and according to the Breach.
No, I mean, like, and again, as Breach put, like, if you play the Bengals, the Redskins, and the Panthers, you know, you're going to have a really easy schedule. But if any of those teams are, you know, if any of those teams are 9-win teams, then it totally changes the
game. The Bengals, the Redskins, or the Giants all have low over-under. So if they're also 9-win teams, it's the same. It affects it differently. It's similar.
Well, and then additionally, not to belabor the point here, which we're already doing, but like if you win 13 games like the Packers did, you know, you're not going to be a 6-win team coming into the next season unless some drastic stuff changes. Like, you're probably going to be a 9-win team.
And the 49ers a year ago were considered cupcakes, and they.
That's a great point.
Right. And their over under would have been like 5, and they hit whatever, 12 or 13. So that was just as far off as using last year's records. And I'm not saying using last year's records smart. I'm just saying that there is no ideal way to do it.
Yeah, that's literally what Ryan just said, but thank you for clarifying.
I don't think that's what I said before Ryan said.
I don't think there's a way to be able to do strength of schedule.
So, teams with 4 primetime games, the Bills, Bears, Beats, Battlestar Galactica, Raiders, Eagles, Steelers, Seahawks, teams with 3 games, the Broncos, Vikings, Giants, and Titans, and yeah, that's probably enough. Unless you want to talk about teams that have 2-1.
I felt like the Cardinals could have gotten more. Like, even if they're not great, I think they will be exciting, and I would be down to watch Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins in prime time.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I get why they wouldn't do it for this team, but like, I would have been fine if the,
you could swap out the Bears with like the Cardinals.
Yeah, I feel like the NFL is kind of bad about this sometimes, like way too reactive. They get burnt by it. Like, they put the Browns in primetime a bunch, and then we're like, all we're doing is bitching and moaning about the Browns constantly in primetime. And so then this year the Browns get 2 prime. It's like, hey, you sucked in primetime. Well, now you get 2 games.
How many do you think the Cardinals should have gotten? Because they also have the flex game in week 16, so they could end up with 3 primetime games, which I think is fair. You don't give them 5. You're not going to max them out.
I mean, again, like, the Steelers have 4. And with the Steelers probably had 4 or 5 last year, it's like, oh, that's fine. Like, Big Ben in the offense is great. And then all of a sudden it's Duck Hodges. And yeah, I mean, like, it's hard to do. So I get it. I think I'm a little surprised the Colts only have 1. I think the Colts are a more interesting team.
They have to put Phillip Rivers in that afternoon time slot so we can do his Phillip Rivers face at 4:30.
Yuck. I think maybe the Dolphins, I would have been surprised that they didn't get 2 just because of all their draft picks and how they look like they were on the come up there. William Hill, by the way, has week 1 odds out. Let's talk about that week 1 schedule.
Well, let me say one more primetime game, and it isn't week 1. I was surprised the Titans got stuck in the late game on Monday Night Football, because that game is going to kick off past 9 p.m. Central Time. You know, that game's going to go way past midnight on their body clocks, and you never have a Central or East Coast team playing in that late night Monday game. So I thought that was interesting that the NFL decided to do that.
Yeah, that's tough. Usually you'd think you'd go to, and we'll talk about Monday Night Football in a second. Let's get to week 1 and we'll come back around to that Titans game. Did I just say I was going to talk about week 1 and the Breach is like 1 more point week 1? into the Titans.
No, one more. I was connecting. Yeah, I was primetime games. I was segueing for you, Brinson.
Cowboys Giants didn't happen. Surprisingly, we talked about the Texans and the Chiefs. Seahawks and the Falcons. I thought this was interesting because I was like, "Ooh, the Falcons are going to be favored, and Russ and Pete Carroll winning on East Coast." And the Seahawks are actually a 1-point favorite, I believe. So that was a little bit of a shocker there. The Sean, when you look at this Week One schedule, what catches your eye outside of Texans and Chiefs?
Packers at Vikings, starting with a divisional matchup where I would think most of us think they're probably the two best teams in the division, and like that game is going to matter come Week 17 with tiebreakers, and I foresee that being a very tight race. And then I think Browns and Ravens, because I think a year ago we were all on the Browns bandwagon, or a lot of people were, and it didn't work out. That will be a good litmus test already to see how far they've come just under competent coaching after getting rid of Freddie Kitchens.
Vikings, by the way, -3.5 in that game. The Ravens, -8.5 at home against the Browns. Ryan, what stands out to you aside from whoever the Steelers are playing?
Monday Night Football, Steelers Giants. Steelers going to win by 40. Big Ben's coming back. There you go. Put it on the board. Championship. Remember that fantasy football commercial? It's like 10 years old.
That was amazing.
Yeah, I think
Steelers 3-point favorites in New York, actually. That's
50 is the over-under?
48.
48. I like the under there just because the Steelers defense is really good. And we don't know what Big Ben's going to look like with that arm. We know what the rest of his body looked like, according to Jay Glazer. I don't know if you saw that in the mailbag. Just crushed Big Ben's workout habits in the offseason, is basically chugging ham sandwiches.
he said Ben's ideal, this is paraphrasing, of his offseason workout is one yoga session and then playing golf and drinking beer.
That's what he said.
Sounds friggin' outstanding.
Hey, it's worked until last year, so that's a pretty good run. 37 years of
I know, you can always tell, like, so look, I mean, like, you can, like, Big Ben doesn't have to have that extra chin. Like, he doesn't have – same with, like, Jay Cutler. Like, he didn't have to have it, you know? Like,
hey, Jay – by the way, real quick, ever since he accused me of bringing up Jay Cutler on every podcast, I think he's done it on every single show I've been on. And Jay Cutler got rid of that double chin by, like, 2010. Keep up.
Well, and maybe it's back because he's being lazy. And he doesn't want to work, and he's getting dumped for it.
We didn't mention the best game of Week One, which is Bucks at Saints.
Well, guess what, Sean? I was next. Why don't you stop cutting in? He went to you, and he went to Wilson. Can we wait till I get my turn before we start naming other games?
You know what? He's just not wrong. He's just not wrong.
That was my game.
Well, Breach.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
No, talk my games. About it, Breach.
No, my favorite game of Week One is Chargers Bengals. That's the game
Actually shocked that the Chargers are 3.5-point favorites. I think the Bengals are a slammer jammer.
Well, they won't turn the ball over, the Chargers. We know that. I don't think Justin Herbert's going to start that game. I think the Bengals crushed the draft. Their defense will be better, but will it be better in Week One?
And you got a West Coast team coming to the East Coast.
Not East Coast.
Or to the Eastern time zone.
Hey,
same thing.
But in all seriousness, like, we need to get back to that game that he mentioned.
Oh, what a big jam. Wallace took it in his hands and said, up and away.
So you played that as you were dunking on someone with your, let's get back to the game.
Wait, I missed the dunk.
Yeah, I don't know who got dunked on here.
on Sean, but I didn't have it hooked up. So
Breach just got angry. I don't know if that was a dunk. It was a dunk.
I didn't get angry.
Breach didn't even know what the dunking was.
I got to talk about Chargers Bengals. I wasn't angry at all.
Yeah, Brinson, you're the only one that thought a dunking occurred.
Ryan kept screaming, yeah. Play the music. You play got the music.
On. Sean, you got dunked on. Breach yelled at you, and he never yells.
Well, Sean has no manners.
He's in a testy mood right now.
Sean, you're in timeout. You need to be in timeout for like 45 seconds.
Fair. 45 seconds. Talk about Bucks at Saints.
No, but Buccaneers Saints is, I feel like that's the best game. And we talked about Chiefs Texans. You want a supreme game, a great game. I think Bucks Saints is the number one game. I would put Chiefs Texans at like maybe the fourth best game of Week One.
By the way, Breach on the pregame show was like, people are going to have to pick Bucks Saints over Texans Chiefs, ignoring the fact that they're not even on the same day.
I didn't say that.
Ryan, did you say it?
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
I mean, if we're talking about the pregame show.
Oh, what a big jam.
Hey, did I tell you that we did a whole segment about how the Bears and Packers are playing on Thanksgiving night?
Dunk Dunk, because Brenton doesn't know how to host.
Chicken in his hands. Up and away. 52, Dunkaroos.
Well, I almost said, well, this is one of those Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur situations, and Rodgers is about to jump off the field and choke LaFleur out when he gets to the sideline. But I decided that wouldn't go over very well in the context.
You're Ron Burgundy. You read whatever on the teleprompter, no matter what it is.
And what I said on the show, Brinson, was if I had to choose one game to watch in week one, I would choose Buccaneers Saints over Chiefs Texans. Boom! Dunk dun. But this is the best game of week one. Look, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, it's in the feature spot at 425. And you know, who knows what the Buccaneers are going to look like? They might not have much of a training camp. You might have the shortened offseason. Brady doesn't get the gel. The Saints are a machine. Drew Brees has been there forever. So they don't even need an offseason in New Orleans. So I think this is going to be a really, really fascinating game, especially if Brady isn't able to get on the field too often for practice.
Okay. Let's go to the best of Monday Night Football, which, by the way, I'd like to point out that I do think that what we see, apparently, according to a report, the second Monday Night game with the Titans and this, you know, the Titans Broncos game, which we didn't talk about in week one, that Breach mentioned, that's going to start late, is going to be broadcast simulcast on ABC. And I mean, I know we don't want to get in the business of network negotiation, but I think it is worth the consumer, you know, who's listening to this podcast, understanding that if you look at in totality at what ESPN and ESPN has done and the concessions that have been made by ABC to incorporate lots of broadcasting, including the combine, they were really congenial about merging the draft programs, and now broadcasting Monday Night Football on ABC. I think ESPN, I think the mouse is poised to make a big splash in the negotiating the new TV contracts. Like, I think they're going to be really aggressive and try and get more content on ABC and more NFL content. Just a prediction from me, a bystander with some skin.
If that makes anyone nervous, just remember Brinson also predicted that the Bears were going to pick up Mr. Trubisky's fifth-year option. So,
well, I think they probably should have.
But Brinson, if you're going to say that, where are those games coming from?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm saying that ESPN only has the Monday Night package, and if ABC is going to look to add games, are you saying that they are going to go after Thursday night games? Or are you saying they're going after?
I think Thursday's locked in for a while, right?
Well, that's what I'm asking you. Where are you going with this?
I don't know. I think that the NFL is going to be extremely look. They're going to be extremely creative about how they divvy up various packages heading into the next TV deal. And I think that. There was a rift between ESPN and the NFL over some reporting over the last few years. They got some bad. That was weird. Did Goblin just get eaten?
That's a higher up. I don't need to quit talking.
No, I mean, they were getting some bad Monday Night Football games for a while there, and the higher ups at ESPN, ABC, and ESPN have done a good job of repairing that relationship, and now they tend to get some great games, and I think they're going to get some more moving forward.
Well, I think part of that is that they know people are going to be bidding on the Monday Night package next year, and sure, you have to have – nobody's going to pay, you know, $4 billion for that schedule ESPN got 2 years ago, but this year's Monday Night schedule is on par with some of the best, like, 10, 15 years ago. This is a fantastic Monday Night schedule.
Including week two, Saints at Raiders, open the Las Vegas Stadium. Week three, Chiefs at Ravens. Ouch for us. That's our game. And they took it from us and put it on Monday night. But, I mean, that's a big, big, big-time game.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, that's the one team that the Ravens haven't been able to figure out is the Chiefs. It's been kind of – both games were kind of close, but it never felt like the Chiefs were going to lose either time. And so if you're the Ravens, that feels like that's where you got to get over the hump. You got the Chiefs at home in prime time. This is your chance to get that first win against Kansas City if you're Lamar Jackson.
Feels like it could be the new Brady Manning in the AFC.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you're going to want to be – like, you know, like sometimes you get these – like, I'm trying to think of a good example. Like, remember the Jets and Titans played on Monday Night Football a few years ago, and you're like, if I miss the first quarter, it's not the end of the world. Chiefs like Ravens, you're gonna be like in front of your television 15 minutes early for that one, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I agree.
A lot of enthusiasm for that. Tom Brady, week 8, will be at the Giants. Any interest? Huh? Eh. What?
Why?
I mean, I'm happy to watch the Bucks. I don't want to watch the Giants.
You just skipped over your lovey-dovey Cardinals going against America's team, the Cowboys. That's the next best game on the list.
Trying to get anybody to talk with me about this. Good God. Just get some
Kyler Murray versus Dak Prescott?
Yeah, that's an awesome game. I'm going to park early for that one, too. Chargers Saints, I think, is kind of interesting.
So you mentioned the Patriots. The William Hill has the win totals up now, so I'm looking at those. Patriots over-under is 9.
It's high.
Seems high. And the Giants is 6.5, which seems about right.
Fade but Tom Brady doesn't pay for the Patriots anymore.
But you mentioned, which game are you talking about? You're talking the Buccaneers. Sorry. I thought you said Patriots, Giants.
But that's a great point. The Buccaneers are 9.5. Yes.
9.5. There we go.
There you go. Great job. Good job by you. Sunday night football.
This is why I don't talk to you about it.
All right. What's your favorite Monday? Somebody give me their favorite Monday night game.
Week 15, Steelers at Bengals. I'm going to go to Ryan's house. I'm going to toilet paper it. And that's going to be a power move to show how much toilet paper I have at my house.
Pre-used toilet paper, not post toilet paper.
I haven't decided yet. You know, we'll see how the season's going at that point. but no, I mean, I obviously will watch that game, but I think, there's a couple fascinating ones in December. I think Bills Patriots, the Bills play twice over the final four weeks. And the fact that that team, I think, is one we're viewing as a team that could absolutely win the AFC East. I kind of like the fact that they're going to be in prime time late in the season. They didn't get any primetime games last season on the original schedule. They did get flexed into one. So the fact that they got two Monday night games, that's huge. And one of the game, the 49ers Bills game in week 13, that is must see TV.
What's the worst game on this schedule, Sean? I mean, this is a really good Monday night schedule.
Honestly, I don't think these teams are going to be terrible, but I mean, in terms of the quality of football, like I'm not excited about Bears Rams. I think we've seen them play in each last few seasons really ugly, low-scoring games that is dominated by defenses. And they've been close at the very least, but I just don't think the quality of football, particularly at quarterback, is going to be good in those games.
I would agree with that. All right, Sunday night football. Ryan, what do you think the best game on the Sunday night football slate is? Saints Bucks in week 9 could be intriguing. Ravens at Pats, maybe a little.
I like the Ravens at Pats in week 10 because at that point we may know exactly which way the season is going for the Patriots. I would imagine the Ravens are going to do what we think they're going to do.
Yeah,
6 months out or whatever. But I think the Pats, if they're 5-5 or something, or 4-5 or 5-4 or whatever their bye week falls, that won't be a shock. And then of course week 14, Steelers at Bills. I was going to go to that game, but again, after podcast, so I'm going to miss seeing that person. Thanks, you people.
You can go. We won't podcast until it's over. Go.
Sorry you have to do your job, Ryan, instead of going to watch your team
game
play.
The game will end at midnight. It's a 3-hour drive there, so we're going to do the podcast at 4 in the morning.
You can call. We'll call you on the way home.
You can call on the way home. Don't worry about it.
We'll call your hotel.
I already looked. The hotel's like 10 miles from the stadium. When I do.
How long ago does that feel? Like that was that week 2 when we called you from the hotel? Called you at the hotel last
year? That was week 2, 2018.
Was it 2018?
Yeah.
Okay, no wonder it felt so long ago.
It was 2 years ago, man.
It was October 2018. It was week 2.
Okay, I was like, man, that feels like it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That was 2 years ago. Is it weird that I'm a little intrigued by the Broncos at Chiefs in week 13?
No. Because the only issue is Drew Lock.
Sure. If Lock sucks, that game sucks.
Yeah. I don't even know. Who's the backup there now?
It is Jeff Driscoll.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, if he's out there.
It should be Cam Newton.
Well, maybe it will be. Who knows? But yeah, so Drew Lock has to play well. That's the end of the story. But yeah, I think that could be an awesome game if those teams are, if the Broncos are 2 games back or something, that would be amazing.
Debo, what do you think about week 8? Cowboys at Eagles, Sunday night football.
You're going to just see how controversial Dak Prescott is when he throws 3 interceptions into the hands of Darius Slay.
How do you feel about the Eagles schedule, Debo?
It's solid. We don't have the benefit. You know, last year you guys heard me just not really panic at any point because of how easy the end stretch was. Week 12, 13, 14 is Seahawks, Packers, Saints, followed by Cardinals, Cowboys. So it's a much more difficult end stretch. 10-6. Division. back-to-back division champs.
Wow.
15 years.
Wow.
And I thought Sean was the biggest homer on this podcast.
Prisco
said, I'm not going to pick the Bears to make the playoffs. Are you kidding me?
Sean, yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I don't know what to tell you, Breach. I know what I'm doing. I'm telling you, I'm not picking the Bears to make the playoffs.
And then August comes around, guys. I'm picking the Bears to make the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll see. Things could change by then.
After Mitchell Trubisky wins the QB competition because Nick Foles got hurt, I'm on the Trubisky bandwagon. I'm picking the Bears to win it all. Forget the playoffs.
His MVP odds are looking pretty good.
All right. So, Breach, week 15 on Saturday. Walk me through the flex situation.
We got our triple header. This is the NFL two Saturdays, week 15 and week 16. Both of them are flex game triple headers. We'll start with week 15. You have Bills, Broncos, Panthers at Packers, Texans at Colts, Jets at Rams, Lions at Titans, and three of those five games will be played on Saturday, and then two of them will be played on Sunday. The NFL usually announces that at some point in October, late October or early November, to which three games are going to be flexed to Saturday. And same thing in week 16. That's where we have Christmas. We have that Friday game. Then we have a triple header on Saturday. Then we have Sunday. Then we have Monday. Do we have a Monday night game in week 16? I think we do.
Yeah, Bills at Patriots.
Yeah, so we have four straight days of football in week 16. And those flex options in week 16, 49ers at Cardinals, Buccaneers at Lions.
Wait. Four straight days.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
The Friday game is the Christmas game.
Friday's Christmas, Saturday triple header, Sunday, and then Monday.
See, that's
a lot of podcasts.
A lot of fun. That's a lot of fun if you don't cover football for a living. It's a lot of fun if you don't cover football for a living. It's still fine. Like, again, like, not complaining, but like, you know, I mean, could be better.
That's where you could see the 49ers. Cardinals are one of those games that could be Saturday. Buccaneers, Lions, Broncos at Chargers, Dolphins at Raiders, Browns at Jets. So, I mean, there's some intriguing games that could move to Saturday. So that could be a pretty crazy weekend, especially since we're going to be podcasting about, 37 hours over 4 days?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of podcasting. Debo's going to love it.
Debo, right, is he being facetious? I don't think you're going to love it.
Brinson, which Thursday night game are you going to take off to go to a concert for a band that I've never heard of?
Okay, that's
sick now. You got the schedule in front of you.
Low key shot fired. I'm getting, so we're doing this podcast on Zoom. I just got some, what appears to be some, sexy spam on Skype. I got, have you never gotten those? It's like,
not calling 976 numbers.
No, it's like, somebody finds your account on Skype and it's like, hey there. And you don't answer. It's like, have you ever gotten those on GChat?
Wait, does this explanation work with your wife?
No.
Yeah,
no one's buying it.
We're not buying it either. That's never happened to any of us here.
I hit the wrong button. I promise.
There are many things I'm guilty of. That's not one of them. I stand firm on that account. Well, you know, Debo, I'll tell you this. I sincerely hope that I'm even able to go to concerts in the fall of 2020. I don't feel very confident about it. And I would even bet that it's like the summer of 2021 or spring of 2021 before we're back at concerts. I mean, Sean, would you go if brand new?
Yes.
Next question.
Any other? No.
Let me rephrase that. Brand new comes back and has a reunion tour.
Yes.
In Oakland.
Yes.
At a 1500 person venue.
Yes.
If you go, it will cause coronavirus to reemerge in its most devastating form. If you don't go, you will never hear the band again live.
Okay, of course I would not go. I'm not a monster. Get out of here.
We're going to ask you again after we get off the... Oh, my God. Sean is definitely going. I'll say that Colts at Titans in week 10, Debo, is the best guess.
I thought for sure he was going to say Browns, Bengals in week 2 just to troll me.
And I will say that the band that I will see... will be
Spice Girls.
I'll go see Jay Maskus. How about that? Yeah. You know who Jay Maskus is?
Did you talk about them with Chris Long?
No. Thought about My Morning. All right. If My Morning Jacket's playing on a Thursday, I am out of Yeah. No, Jay Maskus is the lead singer of Dinosaur Jr.
No, I actually like Dinosaur Jr.
Yeah, Dinosaur Jr. kicks ass. So Thursday night, that's the week 10, Colts at Titans. This is not the greatest Thursday night schedule on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, Thursday night's always sort of hit or miss. I think, was it last year that was really good?
The first couple of years, Thursday night, was when Fox signed that big deal, was awesome.
Well, it's like what they did is they put so many good games on Monday. Sunday night always gets a strong schedule, and something had to give somewhere. And it really feels like with the Thursday night schedule, obviously besides week one, that's the opener, is that the first week two and week three are always you put bad teams on because those are the games that are only on NFL Network. That's just how the NFL does it. That's usually where you get your Jaguars-Titans game. That's where you have Bengals, Browns, Dolphins, Jags this year. And then after that, it feels like they put one good team in each game that people want to watch, like Tom Brady in week five, the Chiefs in week six, the 49ers in week nine. So that there's enough of an allure to get you to watch, but it's not like your must-see TV.
There's no game on here where I'm like disgusted outright. Maybe like Broncos, Jets, but even then you're talking like week four and one of those teams, like if Drew Lock is great, or Sam Darnold's playing really well.
What about week eight? Falcons and Panthers does nothing.
Yeah, that's trash. That's trash. But what if like Matt Rhule's a great head coach and the Panthers are playing better than people thought and their young defense is doing well and Teddy Bridgewater's, keeping them in games? I mean, in Atlanta, and like that's a fire Dan Quinn situation. It's a bad game, but I mean, I'm trying to put.
Well, I guess the question is, any of these games would you rather see Redskins, Lions? The two teams that didn't get any primetime games?
No.
Yeah. Not at all.
Yeah.
I think one.
Dolphins Jags is pretty bad in week three.
If two is playing, it's not. If Ryan Fitzpatrick's playing, no one wants to see that.
Well, that's the problem, is that it's too early because Tua, I think, by then might not be playing.
But the reverse side of that is I think that's why people will see the Bengals in week two and be like, oh, it's a good chance to see Burrow on national television because there'll be some curiosity. But if it's week nine and the Bengals are 2-6 going into that game and you put them on Thursday, no one's watching. But if you do it early, people are curious. Want to watch, and same thing with Tua if he's on the field in week three.
I mean, but Bengals Browns in week two is like if Burrow outplays Mayfield, it is
problems for
a situation for Cleveland.
Absolutely.
By the way, that Dolphins Jags game, if it's like week six or week seven, and Tua is playing, and the Jags sign Cam Newton, now you're cooking with gas. That's a game I'd want to watch.
I think one of the worst games, real quick, sorry, Brenton, would be Patriots Rams in week 14. That look, who knows if both those teams are going to be any good? That could be potentially not be a great game.
I'm in on the Rams and the Patriots. The Patriots over-under is 9, I think I said earlier.
I mean, fade Belichick at your own peril. Like this.
How do they win in 10 games?
Because Bill Belichick's the greatest football coach of all time. People are like, I mean, all he had when he won the Super Bowl was Tom Brady. Like, as a his second year. Like, maybe Stidham's awesome.
Well, all we have to go on, and we keep saying it, is that he threw one pass and he got his ass jerked right back to the bench.
All right. You have to bet on the Patriots over or the under. If you're wrong, you die. What are you going to take?
Let me double check to make sure it's 9. Is it 9 or 9.5?
9. That's 9 even.
So if you push, you live. Just push. Go for the push, Wilson. Just predict 9 exactly.
Yeah.
Pull it to beak.
That's a really bad choice.
Seems like the worst out of every option.
You think they're going to win?
You know yourself into one result.
They're going to win 10 games, Brenton?
But if it lands on 9, you live anyway. So why would you just not take one of the other sides? Why would you not be like, I'll take 9 exactly?
It's a flex move. It's a power move.
Yeah, exactly.
It's your life's on the line. Why are you flexing?
They're going 12-4 exactly. That's what Tabeek said. I'll go, good Lord. I'll go 9 and under since I get to include 9 in it.
If my life is on the line, I'm not betting against Bill Belichick. I would take the over.
Yeah, but he'll find out, and he'll want to see you die, and he'll just throw games away just to
watch. That's probably very true.
Exactly. If my life is on the line, all they got to do is get to 9 and 7 or better, give me the over all day. Now, I wouldn't bet on it, but I mean, I'm not fading Bill Belichick. All of a sudden, they're like 5-1, and you're just you've got to go like cut Jared Stidham's kneecap, like you got to go bash his kneecap in Nancy Kerrigan style before like the week 8 game just to live. Like that's not where you want to be.
This is your bet. Don't make the bet that involves dying. So let's see.
I mean, just look at their schedule. It feels like they top out at 9-7. That's how I feel looking at this right now. Based on
Right. So let's just start. The Dolphins, they struggle at, but that game's at home, so that's fine. So in week two, they're at Seattle.
Who do you think Belichick would rather see in week one? Tua or Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Tua.
Tua. Yeah. He crushes rookie quarterbacks.
So let's say they win that week one game because it's home, and that's fine, whatever. The Dolphins are still finding themselves. At Seattle, what's that spread going to be? -4? -5?
Seahawks -4 or -5. Yeah, it depends on how the Patriots look in week one, but probably 4 or 5.
Anyone taking the Patriots in that game?
Yes, absolutely.
No.
In which game?
I'll take them +4 or +5. I'll take them to win.
Week two at Seattle to win.
By the way, the Patriots are -6 against the Dolphins in week one.
No, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. But they're not, I don't think their chances of winning that game in Seattle 33%.
Sounds like someone else here is going to predict that a team can't win in Seattle. That worked out well last year when we did that.
I think the Patriots will figure out a way to start 3-2.
Yeah, that's fine. I could see that because those three games are at home, the Dolphins, the Raiders, and the Broncos, and they play at Seattle at KC.
They probably, if they're 3-2 and the 49ers are one loss team, they're probably not going to be favored in week 7, but I don't think it would be shocking if they beat the 49ers at home in week 7.
Three of the next four games are going to be really tough.
At Bills, at Jets. Come on, man.
Keep reading. One more.
Ravens at home, at Texans, and then Cardinals at home. That's not an easy run. What do they go over those six games? 49ers at home, at Bills, at Jets, Ravens, at Texans, Cardinals at home.
3-3, best case, right?
Okay, well, that's 6-5 right there. And then they close with at Chargers, at Rams, at Dolphins, Bills at home, Jets at home. I think they will go.
Did they win four games out of those?
I think so.
No, they don't. Based on what we know now, of course, all this changes when they go 16-0 and all these teams, finish below 500. But that's a tough stretch.
I don't think Bill Belichick thinks his team is coming in to run the table.
No, we're just saying 10 wins. That's a lot of wins.
You said they topped out at 9. I would disagree with that. And I don't think they'll beat.
No, the I team took 9 and under. I took 9 and under.
Okay. If they were 4-1 going into their week 6 bye, that wouldn't be that shocking.
Yeah, it would. 4-1 against that schedule?
I mean, they should be 3-2. They could lose to the Dolphins, Raiders, or Broncos at home. But, God, you tell me, Belichick's going to lose to Tua /Fitzpatrick Derek Carr or Drew Lock? Come on.
You said 4-1 wouldn't be a surprise. That means they beat either the Seahawks or the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, that means they hold serve at home and then win one of those games.
No, not with the quarterback we don't know anything about.
Okay, it's just impossible.
Does any Breach and or Sean, do you think they go 4-1 in those first?
No, I think they go 3-2.
But it's not, I'm saying it wouldn't be like, you wouldn't be like.
Seattle's I don't think they're not going to beat the Chiefs with the homes. I think Seattle's that interesting because we talked about it. I mean, they outscored their opponents by about 5 points over the course of all of last season. They weren't that good.
Yeah.
I mean, but they could easily lose to the Raiders or Broncos. I agree.
They're not going 4-1.
And how have they upgraded their wide receiver core again?
They got Sanu, remember?
I mean, the wide receiver core is the same, I believe, right?
Everyone's crapping on the Patriots. I am in on this Patriots.
Coming out of the bye week, they have 49ers, Bills, Jets, Ravens. They're going 2-2 at best there. We're running out of wins.
Well, then all of a sudden you're 5-4. And then you get Bill O'Brien, who you pantsed his entire career.
Yeah, but you're not playing Bill O'Brien every game the rest of the season.
You get the Cardinals. You get Anthony Lynn.
Wait a second.
Sean McVay's still like.
Hey, you're all in on the Cardinals.
Brinson, go place the over bet right now and tweet out your ticket so that we can have some receipts.
I will say, though, out of all of Brinson's predictions, saying Bill Belichick's going to win more than 9 games is like the least interesting one he's done.
What's more likely? Gary Bradbury wins MVP or the Patriots go 10 plus wins?
Not Garrett Bradbury.
I will say that I placed a bet on Trent Williams to win Comeback Player of the Year.
That's actually not unreasonable.
140-1.
What?
How much money did you put on it?
I hope nothing more than $1.
$7?
$25.
Is that a lot or not a lot?
That's a lot. Let me take those bets from now on. Because you're just giving away $25. He's not winning. Just like the Mr. Biscuit thing.
He really likes betting on offensive linemen, too, to win, these gaudy awards that skill position players or quarterbacks.
$25 out the window. At least give it to me. I'll take that bet.
Has an offensive lineman ever won Comeback Player of the Year?
No. But I like, if the 49ers are awesome, right? All right, clip and save this. Email. We're going to throw it in somebody's face. In
the yeah, put it, play it alongside the Garrett Bradbury one and the Mr. Biscay one.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cuss there again.
What is the payoff on that? 140 times 25? What's that? I'm sure you've done that math already.
I don't have to. The website does it for me.
What is it?
I don't know.
All right, don't worry about
it. Oh, Brinson, I'm going to clip that and send it to your wife.
Oh, yeah, I'll take that bet all day.
All right. You want to double down on it? A little fun?
Double down. You owe me $5 plus 25, so you'll owe me $30.
Okay.
Sean, you owe me $5 too. Venmo me.
I'll give it to you the next time.
Why don't we do double or nothing? So I'll owe you $10. We'll just do five.
Well, the whole point of me taking the $25 is that don't give it to the casino or to the book. Give it to me because there's no way that bet's going to cash. You're throwing away $25. That's my
point. Now I just have to do it out of spite.
That's spite losing $10.
10 or 25? What do you want to do?
25 is fine. I'm happy to pay. I just got my, stimulus check, so I'm going to burn it home about it.
You're not giving me any money right now. What are you
doing?
If you win, you'll get the whole thing. Your name's on it.
Be like, all of a sudden,
and the irony of all this is that Trent Williams is actually going to be second, but Philip Rivers is going to win the award over him.
That would be amazing.
No, this is actually a good year for comeback because it's like AJ Green, Gronk,
Big Ben,
Miles Garrett's on the list.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Big Ben's the favorite. We talked about that with RJ White on our podcast. So a couple other games that we didn't touch on from Pete Prisco's top 10 games. Packers Bucks. I mean, what a quintessential Prisco game. It's like Rodgers, Brady, believe me, you can't bet against them until they stop doing it, until they prove it that it's not going to happen. You keep betting on them. Trust me. That's how it works. I've been right 0 times in the last 30 years.
So wait, Packers Bucks, when's that? I didn't hear the first part.
I don't know. Debo didn't put the dates on there.
Oh.
Just throwing him under the bus the one time he doesn't have every bit of information you steal.
That is week 6.
Gotcha. Thank you. I see. Prisco's bliss. Here we go.
Are we that excited for 49ers Packers? We watched it twice last year. None of those games were good.
I think actually instead of – my apologies, Debo. I shouldn't have done that to you. But I think the opportunity here is to dunk on – and that's week 9 is 49ers versus Packers. Pete included the Packers just twice. But, like, stop. The Packers are – were the Packers fun to watch last year?
They weren't fun to watch against the 49ers.
Yeah. Why, what do you think you're going to come back out? It's like, oh, they got A.J. Dillon and Jordan Love? Look out, Kyle Shanahan. Here we come.
Actually, I don't mind the Packers-Bucks because, you know, we'll how many times is Rodgers in?
Twice. I think they both won once.
Okay. So they only played twice? Okay. I don't mind that one. I guess I'm bothered by the concept. There is a, like I heard Peter King say this in his column and like Prisco echoes it. Like there's a belief that Aaron Rodgers is going to be like a top 5 quarterback over the next year or two. And that's,
he might. Is that outrageous?
I think it's more likely that the Patriots win 10 games.
More controversial. Aaron Rodgers having a great season or Dak Prescott having a great season?
Aaron Rodgers.
Really?
I think Dak Prescott is going to statistically have a monster year. I think that would be shocking if he did.
Then where's the polarization on that? We don't have to get on Dak Prescott again, but I think Aaron Rodgers could have a good season left in him and go off. No? Like,
what's going off?
What did he do last year? I don't know. What are his numbers last year, Sean?
He had 2 picks last year.
25 touchdowns, 2 picks, I think. I could be wrong.
What are you guys yelling at? I know the advanced stats community gets angry at him, but he's a top 8 quarterback, right? Top 7 quarterback or no?
Yeah, but that's not good for Aaron Rodgers. That's the whole point.
It's the whole debate.
4,000 passing yards, 26 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
Lord. Let me ask you this.
It's a great season.
If you're the Buccaneers, would you have rather had Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers this season?
Tom Brady.
I would might lean towards Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, Rodgers was better than Brady last year.
The issue is that Rodgers plays, you know, he plays a schoolyard type football, but guess what? Bruce Arians and Ben Roethlisberger crushed it. For 5 or 6 or 7 years.
I take that back. If I was the Buccaneers, like I would in a vacuum take Brady over Rodgers for this year, but I would, if I was the Buccaneers with Bruce Arians' system, I think I might rather have Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. So I don't, this.
Yeah, I would rather have Rodgers.
Him being washed up, I get it on some level, but he's not Jameis Winston.
I mean, his Rodgers' last three full seasons, 4,400 yards, 40 touchdowns, 7 picks.
You guys are
4,400 yards, 25 touchdowns, 2 picks, 4,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, 4 picks.
The most disrespectful thing is Sean, this is his hill to die on, and his famous quarterback's Mitch Trubisky.
I've literally said this over and over again, that Aaron Rodgers isn't bad, it's just that he's not at his peak anymore. I've said this so many times to clarify this.
I don't feel like that's how your opinion comes out.
I think he is a top. Last year, he was like a top 12 quarterback. It would not shock me, as Ryan's saying, if he's a top. What did Ryan say? Top 7? Yeah, that wouldn't shock me. If he only has to move up 4 spots in a down year for him. The problem, again, we don't talk about this, they just didn't do anything to help him in the short term. That team got worse.
And that's the other thing. Imagine him on a team with Mike Evans and Cameron Brate and O.J. Howard and Rob Gronkowski and Chris Godwin, and they got the kid Tyler Johnson, the slot receiver from – I mean – good Lord. And they got the running back Keyshawn Vaughn. He would throw for 8,000 yards next year.
Also on Pete's list, the 49ers and the Saints in week 10, Chiefs and the Buccaneers in weeks 12. I'll give him that one. That one's fun. Like, can Tom Brady keep up with Patrick Mahomes?
I think the Chiefs roll.
Same.
The Bucs defense is pretty good.
Really good. But Patrick Mahomes, you seen him play?
The Chiefs are going to win every game by 22 points. It's going to be amazing.
Ryan is the one that just said that, so.
Actually, the Bengals-Dolphins game is interesting because, as John pointed out earlier, at least it's later in the season. Maybe Tua's playing by that point.
If we don't get Tua versus Burrow in week 13, the Dolphins can kiss off.
You know what I hope we get? I hope we get Finley versus Fitzpatrick. Or
Finley versus Rosen.
Yeah. That actually might be more exciting, Finley versus Rosen.
Maybe the Patriots will trade for Rosen.
What are they waiting for? And is Rosen better than Stidham at this point?
No, but just, you know, it just feels like that's...
Give yourself another shot at it. Won't cost much.
And then Chiefs-Saints in week 15. That one is a spice burger. How many times have we seen Patrick Mahomes indoors?
I can't think of one time.
Detroit, he came back, didn't play that well.
It wasn't a good game. Yeah, it was surprisingly not entertaining.
They had to have a late reach, No, it was entertaining. The final score was 34-30. It was completely off the rails. There was a fumble at the 1 yard line that got returned for a touchdown. Right. It was an insane game.
Yeah, but Mahomes wasn't that great. And there was some buzz. It's like, did Patricia figure out how to stop Mahomes?
You know who Breach is? Breach is your grandfather who falls asleep at Thanksgiving and then wakes up in the middle of a conversation and starts yelling out random facts and then goes back to sleep.
Well, I will say this. The whole thing was that game against the Lions was his first indoor game of his NFL career, and everyone was excited because in college, he averaged 492 yards per game in indoor games in college. 492 and
did
4 points.
Did I write it? One of us wrote it.
Yeah, I wrote it.
Okay, I thought so.
Yeah, that's his only game in a dome.
Okay, there it is.
So, I mean, at Saints, that could be fascinating. Breach is like the guy, because I do this all the time. He's like, his wife's talking to him and he's on his phone. And she's like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. It's like, uh-huh. She's like, what did I say? And then, spits back exactly what she said. She's like, okay, I guess I'm going to sit over here now.
That's not my experience with Breach, because every time we're together for Super Bowls or combines or whatever, he doesn't pay any attention to me. I'll be asking him questions. I said, Breach, did you hear me? He goes, no. I would answer.
That's because he was out drinking all night, and he slept 2 hours, and somehow.
By the way, we haven't mentioned this, but there's no pass interference review next year either.
Well, we were talking about the schedule tonight.
Yeah, I know, but just something to think about as we move towards.
Real meaty nugget to have at the back end of the schedule podcast.
Come back tomorrow or Monday and find out what we have to say about it.
What a tease. Now everyone's going to listen. This might be the most downloaded podcast in history.
I'm just going to let that one fly as the ending. That's it for the schedule show. I'm sure there's more to unpack. This is, of course, a knee-jerk reaction, but pretty robust coverage of it. We will be back on Monday to do a deep dive in week 1. Plus, I imagine that despite Debo not planning for it, we will have plenty of other stuff like rivalries, rookie games. I'm just kidding. Debo has already played for this. Sneaky matchups, revenge games. Breach will have 3 to 4 just bizarre quirks about how the Raiders have to travel through Temecula 14 times to make their week 7 game against the Chiefs or something like that. Because that's how Breach rolls. And we'll give you all kinds of week 1 lines and maybe do some mailbag questions. That's right. Mailbag questions. All right. Always fun. talk to you guys soon. And remember, make sure to watch our CBS Sports HQ show 4 to 5 Eastern every single day for the short foreseeable future.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control all desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.